Hello and welcome to the Wild Minds podcast with me, your host, Joe Farrell. In this podcast, we'll be covering people's mentality, how we can help the environment, and people's mental health. We'll understand how people coped in difficult situations and how people managed to overcome the challenges they were faced with in life. If you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, follow us on Instagram at wildminds.uk and on Facebook at wildminds.uk. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Right, hello and welcome. We're back again with another Wild Minds podcast, and this time we're going on YouTube and on Spotify and Anchor. I'm here with Jordan.
Live, baby.
Jordan and Johnny, how are we doing, boys?
Not so bad.
Yeah, see, this is three-way now, so I should probably say someone's name at the end of the question, so we don't get a big, massive muffle.
We're learning. There you go.
So, Johnny, what have you been up with, man? Since last time you came on, what have you been up to?
Just trying to keep busy, man. Like, what can you do in lockdown? Go for a walk, go to the supermarket. I've got a little one as well, so I'm trying my best just to keep her occupied, like, not because she's like me, is bonkers.
Yeah,
can't
yeah.
stay in the house and sit still, so just been getting out in the fresh air, going for walks, and trying to stay sane, really. Yeah, man, what about you, bro?
Not too much, really. Working and walking is all I can say, really.
Plenty of walking,
that's it.
You two are both in the challenge, innit? So literally trying to get the 10k steps every day. It's
harder
than I thought.
I thought it was going to be easy. I was like, 10k, that's only like, 10k a day. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm at work, I'll be strolling around, whatever else. But there's not, for me, my work's changed a lot. We have a lot of customers, obviously. I work in a shop, hardware store in Huddersfield. We have a lot of people coming to the shop normally. So I'm up and down getting stuff from all the time. I'm just on the computer at the minute. I'm leaving work doing like 3,000, 4,000 steps.
Yeah, it's peak. I thought it was going to be a lot easier than it has been. I work on the road walking around, and I'm walking around all day, and I'll get back to the van after work. I'm like buzzing. I must hit 10k by now. I've got like 5k. I'm thinking, oh, boy.
Yeah, no, I don't understand.
Yeah. How you been getting on, Johnny?
I'm struggling even more because my job is desk-based. So
all desk.
So every break I get, I try and get out and do something. And then weekends, I'm just running around all day trying to get it up. But I'm struggling to keep up with it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about, like the motivation behind it. Like, I feel like everyone at the start was all up here. Everyone was gassing the group chat, like, yo, come on, let's smash this. And now it's got to, like, halfway. I'm writing stuff in the chat, and, you know, I'm just getting aired by everyone, man.
Yeah, it's one of them ones, isn't it? The reality sets in with it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's tougher than I thought it would be built.
I think I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know what, though? This year is mad, like, you know, usually every start of the year, you've got that high, like, oh, yeah, like,
yeah,
yeah. Like, you're like, okay, new year, I'm focused, I'm going to do this, new year, new me, all that bullshit. Yeah. But this year just feels different, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
I said, going into the same shit.
Definitely. I was having a conversation with my mum the other day, and I said, you feel like 2020 is just 2020 for me will remain until this is over. I'm still 2020 in my head.
Yeah, yeah, it's the 38th, you know what I mean? Of December, or whatever it is, like. Fully still in December.
Yeah, man, said it's the 38th.
I think everyone thought that when Big Bang strikes 12, we're going to go to 2021, everyone was like, right, it's going to be a new year, it's going to be good, we're going to have everything back. And literally, it's just ticked over exact same as where we were before.
Worse, fam?
Yeah.
Worse? Locked up now.
Yeah, it's... Yeah,
you know what's worse about this one as well, this lockdown? Because it's winter.
Yeah,
Summer was nice. I was out walking, chilling, whatever. Whether you were working or whether you weren't working, you finish work at 5:30, you still feel like you got the rest of your day left.
Bro, controversial statement. Last lockdown was one of the best times of my life.
Bro, me too.
I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
My daughter was young, and I would have been working the whole time. Wouldn't have got to see her. And it was summer, and I was out every day running, cycling, like with my daughter, spending time with her. I was on furlough, and honestly, like, I know people were suffering and it was bad for some people, but it was the best for me.
For me, I was as same as you, furlough, getting paid to, obviously you couldn't go and do what you would normally do if the world wasn't in the same situation, but you were doing things that it forced you to do things that you never thought you'd enjoy. You were doing stuff that you wouldn't have done previously. But my mum, on the flip side, she's a nurse. So I was at home, Phila, doing whatever I could. I obviously could see the other side of it. But for me, I found more time to practice my guitar. out walking, all sorts. I'm same as you.
I think with a lot of wealth for myself personally, this wild man's came around because of lockdown, because I wanted to do more and get more out of this free time I've got. Because we obviously we played rugby half your life, well, half being part time at rugby. You sit at rugby all the time. I'm at work and I'm at rugby, and then all of a sudden I've got all this free time. I'm thinking, wow, what can I do with this time? Mm-hmm. So obviously mm-hmm. that's come out of that. But speaking to everyone, really, all the podcasts and stuff, asking people how they're feeling through lockdown, they're like, it's been good because it's slowed everything right down. I've had more time to think about myself and think about what I want to do in life. And it's just been, it's for most, well, for a lot of people, it's been like a welcome break that you don't really use again.
Yeah, that's what, the difference is now, it's like, you do want a bit of the normality back, don't you? It is. I think it is down to the fact that if it was still sunny now and the weather was blazing and whatever else,
yeah,
chilling. But I'm working as well now. That's the difference. Are you both working as well?
Yeah, I've worked all the way through, mate.
I'm working.
You see, I've worked all the way through.
Yeah, my job's different. So I'm working from home, so that is a issue in itself for me.
I was like working from home.
I'm not. It's production is very low.
Because.
I'm going to be honest, my PlayStation is there, TV's there, it's very tempting sometimes.
Of course.
I don't know, man, you just get sick of the same four walls. Like, I love my house and that, but I don't know, there's something about the routine of getting up and getting out. And I'm trying now to get back into some sort of routine where I still discipline myself to like do things at a certain time, because if not, you just fall into a trap of like nothingness. And then it starts to mess with your head a bit, if you know what I mean.
How old are your kids?
Oh, I've just got one daughter and she's 16 months.
All right, that's something. At least you've not got the homeschooling to contend with as well.
No, luckily she's at the childminder because my partner Sasha's a teacher.
She's a key worker,
yeah. So, yeah, I don't know how I would cope with that.
Yeah, there's been conversations, haven't there, about more kids going into school than there was in the first lockdown and stuff like that. But the difference is the likes of me, that's not a key worker in terms of nurse or doctor or whatever, I'm back to work now. Whereas in the first lockdown, most people were at home.
I think the lockdown's a lot more lenient this time. It's not strict. That first lockdown was literally like the purge, when everyone's just shutting everything down and everything out. It was like that. But this one just seems to me, they said the lockdown, it starts from midnight, whatever night. I was working. Say it was like Thursday night, I was working the Friday. There was no difference on the roads or anything. It's like everyone's done with it, I think. I think that's the problem.
Well, no, I think not as funny as well. The first lockdown, it was like, oh my God, we're in lockdown. Like, we're going on furlough. All these new things have been brought in. And now it's like, oh, lockdown again. Like,
here we go again.
Yeah. Well, here we go again.
That's more normal than someone saying you can go to the pub and have a chill with your friends and whatever else. The normality now is to be locked in your yard. Without being able to go out?
How mad is it that man have not been able to go out and shake a leg for like almost a year now?
Bro, I can dance, you know, if you mind that. It's a waste.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, do you miss nightclubs and stuff like that? Do you miss the all that kind of stuff?
I don't really. Go on, bro.
Go on.
After you.
All right. I miss just interaction with different people. Like, not necessarily like going out per se, but mixing with different groups of people instead of, at the moment, I see my partner, my baby, and her family, and her mum and her brother. And as great as they are, I want to like interact with my friends and other people and different family members. So for me, that's the social aspect I miss. Not necessarily nightclubs per se.
For me, it's the like on a whim stuff. So you go out walking, you're walking back home, and then you think, oh, you know what? Pub's there. I'm a bit peckish. Or I could just do with it. I'll just go and have a pint before I go home. Or your mate rings you, oh, do you want to just grab some food? Or they're the things that I miss. Not necessarily that Saturday, let's get out, let's get on it, and whatever else. It's the spur of the moment thing that's been taken away from you.
It is different. It's like beer's been replaced with coffee at the minute. It's a bit of a mad one. It's serious. Like when I went out with go out for a walk, you can't get a beer anyway, but coffee shops still open. Well, coffee like vans and all that are on walks. So it's literally you go stop for a coffee instead of going for a beer instead, which is probably better for you, but
not a bad thing.
Nah, it's pretty good.
But yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Like one of the massive like talking point. It's not for everyone. Not for me. Not for me, really. I know I said I like to stop off maybe at the pub on the way back from a walk, but I'm not a pub goer as such. But for some people, that was like, you know, lockdown's happening. There's people dying. Yeah, I know there's people dying, yeah, but I can't get my Carlsberg.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that seemed like for some people it's a big thing. But that is part of British culture, I suppose, the pub.
Do you think the British culture's like the way we are, like we argue with everything, we don't really listen to much. Do you think that's helped? That's obviously that's a factor in the lockdown why it's not worked as good as what we could have done.
I think it's one of them ones in it that you've got to find a balance between people should just want to do the right thing without without the law having to be ridiculously forceful with it, like we've seen in some other countries. I mean, I'm glad I'm not getting, if you go out for a walk, I'm glad I'm not getting like thrown in the back of a van and driven up to some mad place because I've seen them videos.
That's what they did in Sweden, is they kind of just left it to the public to be like upstanding citizens, and it worked. They had one of the lowest like infection rates at the start, but they just like everything was open. They've never closed down everything. But I think over here, like you said, people, I think there's a distrust of the government, like as a kind of standard with the general population. And then also they didn't act quick enough in the first place. So what the government did is like, didn't close anything down, didn't have a proper lockdown. There's still things open, like schools are open. And then they're reacting to the spike, but they should have been proactive.
I was watching Question Time the other day, and there's a guy on there from, who's the main health advisors to the government? It begins with an S, I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, he was on there, and he wasn't holding back. He basically said, told you this was coming, but didn't want to listen. Didn't want to listen. It's one of them things. Hindsight is a great thing, isn't it? Like in hindsight, you could have done a lot of stuff different. But at the time of things happening, I was speaking to normal everyday people who were saying things that seemed more logical to me than I was hearing coming from the television.
Yeah, 100%. Was it Italy that were real bad at first? So we thought that we should have learned from Italy how bad this is going to be. And then the government would have thought, all right, let's lock this down properly before it gets to that stage. But it seems like we've become like the epicenter of it. Like we're getting smashed by it.
It's bad. There's obviously you've got to find.
I went to Malta for a funeral recently, and my family were like saying, basically trying to literally like might as well have had hazmat suits on around us because we're from England.
Get away!
Yeah, it's what was I saying now? I've forgotten. Don't matter. What important? Irrelevant.
Sorry.
Oh, good.
Right. Another thing that I want to ask you, boys. Right. If you have to think of like three people who inspire you the most, who would you pick?
I'll let you go first.
Oh, me. See. Yeah, you go first. I can't really go first. I've not thought about it myself. I'm thinking about when I was driving home.
I haven't thought about it. You've just thrown that on me.
That's a good question. Listen, let's go. We'll go one at a time, right?
All right, one at a time.
So throw me one. We'll go around three times. Throw me one person.
All right. I'll go for one first. For me, LeBron James.
Yeah.
I know you, Faz, I know you know my love for LeBron James. But the reason being, if you look at American sport, and obviously as a sportsman, a lot of my idols are sportsmen, but if you look at American sport, there's this kind of, they've got a different mentality to us. They're different, like the way they dedicate themselves to their craft is mad. And I wish I knew that when I was coming up.
Yeah.
But the thing about LeBron is he was like the biggest child prodigy ever. Like he was in Sports Illustrated when he was like 16, whole world knew his name. And it never went to his head. He's never been in any scandals. He lived up to his expectations, and he does more for the community than any other basketball player in history. And I just think I know for a fact, if I had that money, it'd probably go to my head. I just think it's inspirational how he's been such a beacon and like a shining example of like a strong black man. But he could be in a strip club every night. It could be, like, do you know what I mean? Doing whatever he wanted, going out partying, but he's not family
hold
man.
Him, you hold him in higher regard than Michael Jordan?
Yeah, because Michael Jordan famously didn't speak out against oppressive issues because this is one of his quotes, I'm paraphrasing, he said, "Conservatives still sit by my shoes," or something like that.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. So as much as Jordan was the GOAT in terms of his killer mentality on the field, LeBron mixes both.
Mm-hmm.
He's on par on the basketball pitch, on the court, and he's an activist and he's not scared to disturb the status quo.
Do you think it's anything? I don't know I don't know the answer to this, but do you think that was maybe partly to do with the times? Do you think it's easier to be that person now than it was, say, 20 years ago? Or do you think it shouldn't matter?
There is an argument for that, but then if you look at some other players like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, they've been outspoken and they've spoken. Like Bill Russell played in the Civil Rights era in the 60s, so like that was peak times for that kind of stuff. So there is an argument for like that times are different, but I think because Michael Jordan was so reluctant to say anything, like in at the end of the day, like silence is compliance, really. Especially Michael Jordan was God in the 90s.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Well, anything he would have said, conservatives would have still bought his shoes.
100%.
They'd have still bought 100%. His shoes. So
100%. Is that the Kaepernick thing? Like, do you remember when people were like, oh, when Nike endorsed Kaepernick and people saying, we're never going to buy any Nike stuff again, but their sales spiked anyway.
Yeah. Because I don't want you to buy my, if you're that type of person, I don't want you to wear my shoes anyway. That's how I feel about it.
Fully.
But I'd say my number one is my mum. She's a G. Honestly, she's a G, man. Like, I don't know anyone, and this is coming from playing professional sport to a degree. I played. And within the music industry, the people that I've met, general everyday life that grafts like she does. She just, I come home, she goes, I'm thinking, need some new shelves in the kitchen. Boom, come on next day. I know it's only sounds small, but come next day, boom, done. If that's me, I'm like, I need some new shelves in the kitchen. I'm 4 days thinking about other shit. I'm not doing it. Boom, it's done. She's brought me up from being 4 months old with the help of other family members, but mainly just my mum, single parent. I've never wanted for anything. Not to say that I haven't known at times that things have been a struggle, let's say, but I have never myself felt that I've lacked anything, either materialistic or emotional support, whatever that may be. Never moans about it, anything. So, yeah. I wish I could graph like that with what I do. Just put my mind to something. She's a doer, that's what it is. So that's number one.
Big up Auntie Sue, man.
She's a G. Go on then, Faz.
Yeah, my first one, well, I don't want to copy off you, but my dad would be my first one.
Legend.
Obviously, just because the way that my life's nasty. Gone. Yeah,
big nasty, man.
With the way that my life's gone, I've like followed kind of in his footsteps with the rugby stuff and all stuff like that. But away from sport, the way that he deals with people, the way that he takes burdens on that he doesn't have to take on, the way he looks after everyone, regardless of how well he knows you or whatever, he'll do well for anyone. So it's just like seeing him being the person he is makes me want to be that person when I get older.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand what I'm saying. So yeah, my dad would be the first one.
Nice. See, now you lot have made me look bad because I didn't chat. So, Mum, I love you. Don't let these two get in your head. No, I'm joking.
But you're not number one.
Obviously, that is beautiful.
We weren't doing it in order. We said we weren't doing it in order anyway.
It's just any order. It's any order.
I'm not going to say my parents because for me, that goes without saying for me. Like, and you guys have given that kind of homage to your parents, so I'm not going to lie.
This guy hiding now.
Number two. Is it me again, yeah?
Go again.
Back to you.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to be, like, cliche and just say bait ones, but there are certain people that are just inspiration to the whole world. And for me, one is Bob Marley.
G. Absolute G.
Yeah.
Just because of the message, like, and there's a lot of people that have preached the same message, but there's certain people where that message resonates with you. So like, do you know what I mean? Like Bono or something like that might have had a similar message. But for me, Bob Marley, the way, and just the emergence of Rasta from that kind of era of music, just opened my eyes to...
The thing is with Bob Marley for me that pisses me off is when random man will get a 10 bag of weed, roll it up and play some Bob Marley and be like, yo, Bob's God, man. I'm like, Bob's God, man, but you're not listening to what Bob's saying. You're not hearing his message. You don't know what's going on.
I think that is where Bob Marley has done something that other acts, other artists in the same genre, they had the same message, but Bob Marley crossed over into a part where it became like popular culture. Do you know what I mean?
Transcended, yeah.
Exactly. It was just Bob Marley as a, if you want to call it a brand as a whole, just took over, didn't it?
I think even if you take Bob Marley's music away, right, if you listen to like his interviews, his philosophy, his stuff, and how he speaks, that in its own is powerful enough to inspire anyone without the music.
And some of his like little sound bites have changed my life, changed my thinking. Even the one where that guy's interviewing, he's like, are you a rich man? And he's like,
yeah.
Does this house make you rich?
I love that one.
My riches is life. And every time
he
I see that,
puts it back on him, doesn't he? Yeah. He proper puts it back on him.
And then it makes you look at your life and look what you have, and rather than think about what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like riches. What is money? What are possessions? Like that's not.
Can't take it with you. Don't get me wrong, yo. If the powers that be want to give me some dosh, I'm alright with that. But let's get a drink.
Yeah, Bob's a good one, man. Bob's a good one.
I say two. I've got a musician as well now, Bill Withers.
And the reason Bill Withers
is such an inspiration for me is, with regards to my music, I've found music very late in my life compared to where most people, if they were trying to pursue that as a career, would have found it. So, Bill Withers, he was working an average job, loved music, always doing little bits and bats of it, but never decided to actually fully throw himself into it or become and became a success in it until he was like 36. So I think to myself, I'm like, oh my God, these people have been doing it since they were like 10 years old or whatever else. So at my age, I've been doing it 16 years. But then if I think, I got plenty of time. By the time I get to 36, I've been doing it 10 years. Do you know what I mean? So
everyone,
it sort of made me think that everyone is on, every person is on their own time scale. No one's on the same thing.
I think we all get kind of sucked into looking at other people's lives and thinking, why isn't mine there yet?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, especially, I don't know about you, but especially playing sport, do you not feel old as fuck now that we're not like 20, 21?
Yeah, since like someone said, oh yeah, you're like one of senior players now, like what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but then if you look at it in the context of life, I'm 26, like I'm still young. But in my head, I'm like, oh, why aren't I accomplished yet? Because I've been trying, setting out on this journey since I was like 19.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I think that's a good point about not kind of,
mate, with
putting yourself under pressure to like
with time, nothing's impossible with time. You can do anything if you've got enough time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Literally.
And you can start at any point, like you said. There's no
start at any point.
You could have started your journey when you were 40 and you still would have had time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the path that you're on, man. You're on your path, someone else on someone else's path, but they don't always believe what people are showing of their path.
If someone tells you, look, this is what you need to be doing, this is all you should always take advice where you can, but no one's going to understand exactly how you're thinking, what you're feeling, and you know yourself what you need to be doing. As long as you're doing it, it's like me with the guitar, for example. I watch people on YouTube on stage when you could go and watch them, and you think, oh, I wish I could be like that. You can be like that easy enough if you just have to commit yourself to doing it, don't you? Everyone knows what they've got to do to get some of it.
But not everyone wants to do it, that's the thing.
No, that's the difference, isn't it? Go on then.
I've got like a pretty... Who am I going to say? No, I'll say this one actually. When I'll say Ann Middleton inspires me loads, to be fair. the way that he speaks and the way is that
the SAA, not SAA,
the SAS guy,
SAS guy, yeah,
SAA, yeah. I think with the way that he speaks and comes across, I'm not a reader, me. I can't read books. Just I haven't got the patience or all that. So I listen to audiobooks when I'm out walking or running or on the bike. I listen to audiobooks, and the stuff that he's saying in his books just resonates so well in my head and gets me fired up and ready to go at life. Because the way he speaks about being in the military, but then how military like transpires and the skills you can use in real life, and he also talks about how not being this big, aggressive, dominant person will make him into a better person in life. And I think listening to and all that stuff accumulated into one is like it sorted my head out, because I've been like confused about how to act, but like how I'm perceived. I always wanted to be perceived as the big strong guy, but then sometimes it's better to be the one that walks away from stuff instead of being the one that aggravates everything all the time. So I think the way that he speaks like inspires me to be like a better person, not like a better athlete or all, just like a better person all around.
Yeah, that's good, man. I think when you it's even like say you're watching a film or anything like that, biopic. Yeah. Any people that you see that are like proper solid rock hard men or whatever, they never show it ever. Because if you know it in yourself, you know in yourself how tough you are, how strong you are, whatever else. You don't pay no mind to how anyone else perceives you, because you already know it, don't you, of yourself? So,
yeah, 100%. I think dropping the act of the hard man sometimes is the best thing that we can do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's hard though when you're absolutely solid like me. It's hard. Just drop it like that on It's built in. It's difficult, but.
Yeah, no, I think anyone that's not listened to Ant Middleton's books, definitely give them a read and they'll listen to it. And watch do you know the story like Mutiny and the Bounty?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's like a sailing ship where like I think it's all the crew turned against like the captain, and the captain only had like 8 people that like went wanting to go with him, and they threw him on this little boat and they sailed from like Australia down by Samoa and all that, like all the way to like Africa or something. And like they reenacted it, and then Ant Middleton was a captain, and they had like X amount of people on the boat that had the same amount of experience as the other people that they actually happened with. Wow. So it's real good watching, like, and the SAS stuff, it's just real good watch, man. He's a good guy to watch.
I have to look into some of his stuff then.
Yeah, he's definitely good, man. He's inspired me. He's made me feel better as a person and turned me into a better person.
Mm-hmm.
Right, back to you, Jonathan.
I'm trying to think of someone, but it's so hard not to. There's a lot of names that pop into your head, but
think of someone who you think of. If we need inspiring right now, who's inspiring you right now? Like, not have to be like a lifelong person. This guy's inspired me my whole life. Just who's inspiring you right now?
Right now, God, who's inspiring me right now? Who's inspiring me?
Tough question, isn't it?
My sister, you know, because. Yeah. So back, I got a family member in.
You got some brownie points.
No, because similar to you, Jordan, she's like in the music industry, trying to break into the music industry.
Just a link up, man. You singer.
Yeah, she's dope, man. And she just her song's playing on Jazz FM tomorrow.
Sick.
In the Sunday Soul thing, afternoon show. So if you get a chance,
what's her name?
It's Geneva, Gene, Ivah.
Ivah. Yeah.
Yeah. And just her journey is kind of she's been through a lot. Got pregnant at 16, and like so that kind of like squashed her dreams a bit. Mm-hmm. Went to uni as a single mum. Got a degree, been bouncing around jobs that she's not really been passionate about, and then she just took the plunge and thought, you know what, I want to do music.
Sick.
And invested a lot of money into it and time and effort, and I'm just hoping that it pays off for her, because I've seen the grind, and she's talented, man. Like, yeah, so
I want to hear her music, man.
I'll send you some stuff on Spotify. Her song that's gonna play on tomorrow is called Sycamore.
Sycamore.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song, man. Really beautiful song.
So is it? She's a jazz singer?
Like neo soul, jazz.
Neo soul.
Yeah. So.
I'm excited to hear that, man. I'm going to have to listen after this.
I rate someone me that just goes after it. I rate someone that just goes and gets it.
Yeah.
You got to just throw yourself in, man. You got to just... I was a similar scenario myself. I worked number of jobs, mainly in sales and recruitment, which is still sales, I suppose, but the sales of people, the legal type. Just thought, I can't just turn up here every day for the next 30 years and be thinking about what if I'd have given someone else a go.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to just throw yourself in it.
It's hard, isn't it? Like, yeah, you're so stuck in the grind sometimes, like, and you get so caught up in life and you're like, where do you find the balance? Like, for her, this is what inspired me so much for her, like, where she had a young son and bills to pay, and like, it's like, it's almost irresponsible if you follow your dreams sometimes.
Yeah, I get that.
It's tough, man.
I feel like I want to learn something and do something different now, but I always think, man, oh, you're 26 now, that's way too old. I'm thinking I'm 26 year old and I'm going to live. Say if I live till 80, I've had a good innings. That's a lot of time I've got left to learn and do what I actually want to do instead of doing what I've fallen into.
100%.
Yeah, rugby's, even if you saw rugby out, are you going to play rugby till you're like 30 odd? Do you know what I mean?
If I make it.
Yeah. If your back don't give up on you.
Yeah, if I make it, man.
Karma says someone's going to dash out your back soon, bro.
To be fair, if someone did, I deserve it. I've done some bad things in my time. I deserve it.
silly boy.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna have to let you go, Faz. I'm still thinking.
What's inspiring me at the minute is I've come across him because I've started trying to get into long distance running more, trying to look at some technique stuff, and I just want to get better at long distance running. There's a guy called Kipchoge. I don't know his first name. I only know his last name.
I know him.
Do you know what I mean? He ran a marathon in less than 2 hours.
Oh, the African guy.
Yeah, mate. They
Kenyan, isn't it?
Yeah. I watched some documentary on him. He runs like a training camp in Kenya, where he's from. And it's like just like a hut kind of thing. It's like no fancy like they have spots for over here. But he like lives there 5 days a week when he's got like a big house somewhere else, but he still lives and trains with these people that are trying to make it through and stuff like that. I just think someone that's come from absolutely nothing to be so talented and work so hard to get out of where they're trying to get out of where they're from, and then making it and doing something amazing as running a marathon in less than 2 hours. I think if he can do that, if we've got everything against him, why can't I do what I want to do? It's nowhere near as hard as trying to run a marathon under 2 hours. So why can't I be where I want to be?
Easy peasy, mate. Easy peasy. It's knowing where you want to be. That's the difficult bit, isn't it?
That is the hard part. That's what I think. I think the hardest thing in life is knowing, like, how just getting onto the right path in the first place. Once you're on the path, you can grind it out. But it's knowing, and yeah, when you actually realize that you're on that path as well. Like,
I think if you get on a path and you're positive about it. So say you're in a path, you're going one direction. You open that door. I say if what through that door is not for you, you probably open another two doors while you're at it, working so hard and being so positive, trying to get to that one. So you open another door after that, it's not for you, there's more doors to go through. I mean, if you go through life, just being positive and looking for the best in everything, just more opportunities are going to come to you, but you've got to be that positive person for the opportunities to come to you.
The worries come when you know what you want to do. I know I want to be a musician. I want to be in the music industry. That's what I want to do. And once you've found out what it is, it's the worry of what if that doesn't happen. And I know that's the only thing I really want to happen. I can't envisage myself now all the music stopping and going back into working like the jobs I was working before.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen, so.
Yeah, that's true. I think that maybe there's a way you can make it work for you, whether you're going to like music teaching or something like that. I don't know. There might be. Have you seen that new film on Disney?
I want Disney Plus, man. Soul.
Mate, I had Disney Soul Plus.
I've not seen it yet, man. Is it sick?
Yeah, it's really good, man. It's one of the best Pixar films I've seen.
I need to see it, man. I need Disney Plus.
See, I don't have a clue what you're talking about here. I've not seen any adverts for it, nothing.
It looks like it's one of them ones that's going to be like the likes of a Lion King was, or a Toy Story, like that sort of.
Oh,
that
big banger.
Big banger like that. Over time, it'll grow to that.
Yeah. It's the first black lead in a Pixar film, Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my son.
He's a talented guy as well, man.
Bro, honestly, dance. I don't think there is. He's a comedian, like, everything. He's killed it. Have you seen Ray?
I haven't. No, my boss keeps telling me I need to watch that, you know. Do you know what? That film will upset me, though, because I know how his life goes.
Yeah, it is a sad film, but the performance is... I think he won Oscar for it, actually.
You should do if you can perform even half as good as him.
I'm not a film watcher, so I don't know none of these that you've read about.
Ray is just it's a biopic.
What?
Ray Charles. A biopic where a story of his life.
Oh, right.
You can move on from the inspirational question. I'm struggling.
Wait, what were you just talking about, Faz, before we started speaking about films?
About paths. About what path you're on.
Right, so... Jordan was saying, like, if your path doesn't work out for you, and was talking about, like, and you were talking about being positive, and then you'll find the right path from being positive. So, like, my question is, like, to what extent is finding the right path internal? Because I feel like I've been at places in my life where no matter what path I was on, it was always going to be the wrong path because I was in the wrong place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think there's... And that film Soul, I would recommend watching it because it's about your calling and finding your calling and that kind of thing. So it links into this very well if you get a chance to watch it.
I will.
And I do think that, from my own experience, a lot of finding the right path is the way you approach it and the way you approach life altogether. And there's, I'm not, please, anyone listening, forgive me if I get this wrong, but there's like a teaching in Buddhism where... Like Buddha says something like, the farmer before enlightenment ploughs the fields and like tends to his cattle, and after enlightenment he still ploughs the fields and tends to his cattle, and it's like nothing's changed on the external, but the enlightenment's from within.
His
outlook on life has changed, and that's what I'm kind of trying to just achieve at the moment. It's just not looking at my situation and thinking, oh, I need to be doing something else. It's like thinking about how I can impose myself on that situation. How can I make this work for me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I was kind of saying to you, Jordan, like with your music. Yeah. Like, how can you make music work for you? It might not work for you in the way you thought it will, but I think there's a way you can.
Yeah, you've got, well, it's like, what's his name? Darwin. He obviously came up with the idea of survival of the fittest and all that sort of business, didn't he? But he said it's not the strongest that survive, it's the species in which can adapt best to its environment. So don't matter how strong you've got to adapt to the situation you've got. And also something that, and this is what my mum told me, there you go, inspiration, something like, life is what's happening while you're worrying about everything else. So I'm basically saying, you're in your life now. You are in the present and it is all happening. So just do what you're doing at this moment in time. You have to enjoy what you do. It's like with the music. Sometimes it can stress me out and I'm thinking, is this what I'm doing going to take me to da 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 to here? But you just got to enjoy what you're doing in that instance, or else you're not living, are you? You're living somewhere else. You're not living in what you're doing.
Yeah.
You need to live it in the moment, not be thinking about where you want to be and not think of... So this thing with the journey stuff, I'm like, everyone's got the massive goal and you're going to get to the goal and then what then? You need to have enjoyed the journey getting to the goal to feel fulfilled.
Yeah. That's why people, especially in the creative circles, end up getting mashed up. They get mashed up of drugs, alcohol, whatever else, because they attain such crazy achievements and then think, well, where else do I go from here? What else have I got really to be going after? So yeah, you have got to enjoy the way there.
Yeah, so you're going to be grinding a lot longer than you're actually going to be there. So if you're not enjoying the grind, then what are you doing? You're just existing.
Yeah.
What you got for me now? Yeah, you got a question for me.
Mm. No, not really. No. You two don't shut up, so I thought we'd just keep going forever. Talking about adapting and stuff like that. Yes. How well do you think you've adapted during this this corona pandemic thing? Because I know for a fact I've adapted in certain ways that's helped me even more than the ways I was doing stuff before. If you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. It's pros and cons. I've worked out less.
Yeah.
But I've worked out more at home than I would have if I went in lockdown. But I've worked out less in general. But no, I think things like the guitar, as I said, it's not forced me, because I always want to practice, but I've got nothing else that I can be doing. Sort of freed up time. I don't really know how to say it. Basically, it's forced me into doing something that I might be doing something else.
Using your time wiser. Making more every time.
Just ignore everything I've just said for the last 20 seconds. I'm typing and speaking at the same time.
Man's just
I actually don't know what I've just said to you, to be honest.
Man's just waffling.
I'm looking for something, speaking for the sake of it.
What are you looking for something?
You know,
this is not important to you.
No, I've got a question for you, man. I had something on my notes on you.
How do you reckon you've done with adapting, Johnny, to this?
The first lockdown, I said to myself, I don't want to leave this. I don't want to leave a lockdown without having, because you've got all the time in the world. I kind of thought, if I leave this lockdown without improving myself in some way, then I would have been disappointed.
Yeah.
So
I felt the same.
I just started going running every day, started cycling. And now, if anyone who knows me knows that I'm not a long distance or kind of endurance athlete. And I remember you seeing the pictures in the group chat of me in the first lockdown looking skinny because I was on this
looking trim
running hype. Yeah, so I was proud of that achievement. I adapted in that way and just stuck to something and did it. I could have done more though, but again, I just wanted to spend time with my daughter and embrace the time and just I think sometimes we get too caught up in thinking that we have to do something. Don't get me wrong, the grind is important and all of that, but do you ever just take time out to just live? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just go off pure vibes.
Just go and sit on a hill somewhere and just look, take it in.
Take it in.
Yeah, man.
It hits you, doesn't it, though, sometimes?
That's one thing I did as well. I used to just go out for a walk on my own and just do stuff that I would never do. Just go and sit and meditate in a field for an hour, and yeah, man, it was beautiful. It was a very informative time. I learned a lot about myself in that first lockdown. This one's been a bit different.
I think you had much more space in your mind. So when you're out on the walks and you're doing whatever else, you have no thought of what else have I got to do, because there was nothing else to do. You're just there. You're enjoying the moment. And then you go home and there's nothing else for you to do anyway. But what do you, what, this isn't my question I was looking for. I can't find it, but you just, that just made me think of something. What do you put before anything else? What is your most, I don't want to say important thing, but yeah. If I say that question, what do you put before anything else? Is that a question you think you could answer? For me, for example, is it your health? Is it?
Do you mean, at the moment it's my family. At the moment, my young daughter, my partner, I just spent we got our keys to the house in September, and I spent just 2 months just working on it. Did most of it myself, flooring, tiling, all that kind of stuff. All things I'd not done before, actually. So I was a YouTube specialist.
Great though, isn't it? The best, man. Save a fortune.
No, 100%, and it takes its toll. That's the thing. It wasn't easy, and I was behind in other areas because of it. But that having a family kind of spurs you into action. You wouldn't kind of imagine it would.
Natural instinct.
You think about things differently. Even stupid stuff like road rage.
Yeah.
I don't even beat my horn anymore. Whatever. Anyone could get out of the car and shoot you. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, you, I know I'm being extreme, but...
No, I know what you're saying. In America, you got to think about that.
Yeah.
For me, it's answering my own question here. But yeah, it's my music. I think I've been thinking a lot more about... I've always been someone. If someone needs help with something or someone... or something else needs doing, I'd be like, yeah, I'll come and, you know, I'll put a back burn. But being, you want to be a nice person, obviously, but sometimes if you want something really bad, you have to be selfish.
Yeah, yeah.
You have 100%. To be, it's like, for example.
Selfish is not, it shouldn't be a negative word all the time.
Yeah, not all the time. No, you're right. It shouldn't be all the time. You shouldn't, it's like you two sportsmen. If you have to choose between spending an extra half an hour at home with family or whatever else, but you know, really, because you are doing what you're doing for the people around you as well. At least I am anyway. So you have to sometimes say to yourself, have I got time to be doing that if I really, really, really want that thing over there? So,
yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
That's something I've realized.
And also, if you're not your best self, and you can't be, if you're not happy, then you can't be your best self for other people. So being selfish is being selfless at the same time. You know what I mean? Like if you're not looking after yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, then the people around you are going to suffer more than anything else.
Of course. Yeah, if you're not doing what you want to do, you're just going to be unhappy in helping them, aren't you?
Exactly.
I don't know how to answer this question. I don't know what to put there.
You have to answer it.
It's a tough
what
question.
Hold, at the moment, what do you hold in the highest esteem in your life? What's the one thing that you like? What is your motivation like behind stuff? Is it
myself? Myself's the motivation behind it. Because
self-improvement or?
Yeah, because until I can become the best version of myself I could possibly be, I can't really do anything or for anyone else or help anyone, because I need to be the best I can be to help them be the best they can be, kind of thing.
Yeah, man. Something to say, man. What do you think? This is going off on a tangent here. Do you think you in life ask enough questions, or do you just settle for what you already know?
I've started asking more questions. I know that since I've started on this venture, I've started asking more questions and not just believing everything that I'm told or read straight away. Because before I was like, I wouldn't say I was passive. I was just like, I couldn't be asked thinking about it. To be fair, I just want to tell myself, like, "All right, yeah, sound." I just want to tell myself, like, "Yeah, sound."
Gone and gone.
Yeah, it's because it goes in one ear and out the other, because I don't really, won't really ask, to be fair. But now I'm starting to think about stuff more, and I'm starting to question stuff more, and I think questioning stuff is definitely a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Okay, so on that note of questioning stuff, I'm just going to throw this topic out here now. Since we've been talking about coronavirus and stuff, what are your thoughts surrounding the vaccine, for one, and
this is a dangerous conversation.
Yeah. This is
I know, but it is dangerous. So,
no, we should. You know what though? But this is what people want to hear, because everyone's got their own opinions on it.
Yeah.
Well, for me, the first thing is, I don't think anyone should be. What I've seen is a lot of people being rude to other people about their opinions, and I don't think anyone should be. No one knows. Like, the people who are following what the government is saying don't know if it's right, and the people who are against all that kind of stuff don't know for sure if it's right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only people that really know are the actual scientists. I don't think the actual people. And there's opposed views on both sides.
Do they? Exactly. I think it's not been out long enough.
I think my opinion on the vaccine itself is, now I'm not, it's difficult to give you a completely straight answer.
Yeah.
If I had to say yes or no directly on which side do I bend towards the most, it would be yes, I'm gonna have the vaccine, if I had to answer that way. But it's not a definitive. I think everything is right and everything is wrong. I think scientists, I don't think there's any dodginess going on, as in they're putting trackers in it, or they're putting stuff in that's going to kill you, or they're doing whatever else. I understand the argument that it's not being out long enough I understand that it's not been out long enough for people to worry, is what's in it harmful? but I don't think there is anything in it that they've purposefully put in there to damage people. I think if the government or if some other crazy powers that be up there really wanted to do us some damage, they wouldn't have had to have waited until a vaccine came out. They could have put it in your food, could have put it in your water, they could have put it in whatever they wanted to put it in.
Some people think they are doing that. I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying there are people that think, oh, if they put fluoride in water, their genetically modified food is got whatever in it to lower our vibrations and that kind of stuff. So yeah. I'm not saying that these are my views. I'm just saying there are people that will argue that.
But I think in terms of, I'm talking like real hardcore population control, I've heard arguments for. If they wanted to do some real population control, they could have and would have already done it by now. I also think the vaccine, although it's a new vaccine, been making vaccines for a long time. And I think humans are intelligent enough to have come up with something, especially nowadays and how advanced we are, that is safe. I genuinely think, you knowing yourself, right? I know there are bad people out there, but you're a good person. Innately, I think humans want to help each other, and people want to be like, even if it's from a case of, I'm the one that helped all them people. I did it. People want people to see that they've helped. So I think the vaccine is going to be a good thing, personally.
I think we're kind of getting bullied into getting the vaccine. When I've been saying, like, you can't go on holiday unless you get this vaccine, you can't do this unless you got the vaccine. It's more or less, if you take holidays away from people and stuff like that, it's more or less bullying you into getting it because you're going to do it, because we've been stuck in this house for a year and whatever now. People just want to get away, and they know everyone wants to get away. So it's kind of like we're being bullied into having it. But I'm not sure. I'm not one of these people that's going
to
say
You can't go to Tanzania. You can't go to various African countries unless you've had a jab, unless you've had a vaccine. Would you have that to travel there? Most people are going to say, yes, I will.
Yeah, 100%. You'd have the vaccine, but it's like, I'm not being bullied into having it. I don't have to have it.
Yeah, you do.
You have to have it.
Do you have to have them? I think you have to have them if you go into a country. Do you have to have them? Or no, maybe you don't, but I think you do.
I think they're to protect yourself. They're not to...
yourself.
I don't know. I'm not sure, to be honest.
I think it's being thrown at us with not enough information, not enough research done into it, and not enough tests proven.
But you see, that's the thing. I think there has been enough research into it. I think it has, although it's gone quicker, it has still had to have gone through the same protocol than a normal jab would have had to gone through. And also, in today's current climate, especially in America, the culture of suing people is so massive that if someone was to, I'm not saying that there aren't people that will have some sort of side effects, because they will. Some people are allergic to particular things. But I think it would be that dangerous to have a situation on their hands where they have done some real damage to people.
Then you see that Pfizer, the company that had the first vaccine, made the UK government basically make them exempt from any litigation.
Wow.
So that was one kind of thing. I was like, wow, like, why would they? Because they've historically had a lot of contentious incidents with their medicines. So, yeah,
I find that
interesting.
I think it's... I'm not 100, as I said, not 100% yes. Do I think that pharmaceutical companies, I'm probably going to get laying down now because someone's going to see this on YouTube, some mad person. But the pharmaceutical companies make money from people being poorly, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
100%. Yeah, so
I don't think in this instance, that is one of them cases where they're jabbing people in the hope that people get poorly and they can cure them in some other way. But on a general note, if there were no poorly people, well, they'd be out of business, wouldn't they?
Yeah. For me, it's hard, like, because, like, right, speaking on what I was speaking about earlier, like, with Bob Marley and all that kind of stuff with Rasta, the basis of that kind of ideology is anti-government, anti-Babylon, like, so for me, sometimes it's hard to get that kind of mentality out of my head, that distrust for authority and this idea that it's like the masses against the few.
Mm-hmm.
That automatically gave me some kind of contempt against the procedures in this whole thing. Then I started looking at it like certain things that just didn't make sense to me, like the mask. Remember when they first said about masks in the UK, and they were like, "No, you don't need one," and the masks they're not effective against COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they were like, "Oh, you need to wear them. It is effective now." But they didn't stipulate like what kind of mask to wear. They didn't say you have to wear a certain mask that filters out.
The face covering, they said, wasn't it?
They just said you can wear a sock over your face. Like, all right.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
So that again, that was just all these things. But with the vaccine, like, I don't know. Like, I kind of just want to see everyone else, like, how everyone else do. And this might
make sense, though. No, that I think
I just want to see. I don't want to have it for now, and I've had every other vaccine. I grew up with every other vaccine. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like measles, mumps, rubella, and it's not harmed me. So I'm not like a total anti-vaxxer, but I do just want to kind of...
My vaccine's not till March 2022.
Is that when you're...
Yeah, so we've got time to watch, boys.
2022?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm getting mine before 2022, B.
Wait, 2022?
I want to wait a bit and see how it goes, but I don't want to wait until 2022, I don't think.
March 2022, it said.
Yeah, what was I going to say? What was I going to say now? I think you're definitely right in saying you want to wait. I'd like to wait a little bit and see what happens with it. But the difference is people that are actually anti-vax, as in I'm going to push this onto other people. If that's your belief system, then that's okay. If you want to think that, I can't force you to change your mind. Although I would try. If you look at how many babies were dying, say in the 1800s, because there's no vaccinations, bam, 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 yeah, whatever else. There's some things that we can take that are definites, and the definites are, especially for older people, if you get COVID, you're more likely to be harmed by that than the vaccine. That's what we know at the minute. It may turn out in the future the vaccine has done more harm. I doubt it. But yeah, I think anti-vax is, as a movement, for me, is quite dangerous. Because at what point did it get to stopping listening to scientists, right? Which I believe, honestly, I think I'm not saying information doesn't get misconstrued by the government or by other powers, but for the main part, I think the scientists' words that come out, we've got to listen to them more than you listen to Janet on Instagram that's saying they're doing some madness with your vaccine. But there's other informational outlets that are talking about this sort of thing as well. It's not just Janet.
And I'll never speak passionately about a subject that I'm not educated in. So
yeah,
no matter what my feelings or intuition are, I'll never say to someone, no, this is good. A lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are looking at YouTube videos and be like, no, like, we can't do, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
No, you're right, you're right.
You always have a gut feeling, don't you? You always have like a little niggling in the back of your head that leans you towards one direction. But I'm, like I say, I'm just kind of
seeing. Feeling out.
Yeah, man. But then to what extent do you think we're responsible for our own kind of well-being? And because then, like, the imposition of lockdowns and all that kind of stuff, like, part of me kind of thinks, I'm going to get ripped for this, but part of me thinks, like, if you want to protect yourself, then protect yourself. But then should the whole world be made to lock down?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the argument I'm trying to say?
No, right? I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah,
I see what you're saying.
I think it is such a... It's such a yes and no question, but my humanity tells me no. I feel like I'm willing to suffer a little bit for other people to eventually be able to get out and have a good time. I would never say that someone else is wrong for thinking differently, because for someone else, their sanity is being able to go out and socialize. We're humans, we're social characters, social species. But for me,
to what to what extent is there a mental health pandemic being created on the back of this as well? So, do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a tough one. Like, there's no right answer. Like I say,
it's weird, isn't it? Because for the likes of me, it's hard for me. I'm a very empathetic person. I can empathize with someone else, right? But my thoughts on it are, suck it up and get on with it. But that's because I'm not of that frame of mind. Yeah, it's so different for everyone else. Do you know what I'm saying? That person next door to me might be, lockdown might be the worst thing that's ever happened to them in their whole life. And they might be struggling crazy, but we're always in our own heads, aren't we? And it's difficult to see the world through someone else's eyes.
Yeah, definitely.
Serious. Right, boys, I think we've been going pretty long here. We'll have to wrap them up and get ready for the next meeting between us. I've enjoyed having both of you all, man. It's been a good chat.
Wicked.
I appreciate you both, man. Yeah, man. Big up yourselves.
Take care.